Give it to the Lord. You know he'll make a way. Yes, he will. Come on, holler with me. Yes, he will. Yes, he will. I know he will because he has already. Come on, let me hear you say, yes, he will. Come on, be a convincer. He'll make a way out of no way. I know he will. I've tried him for myself. Y'all done got my soul happy. Is there anybody in the house happy with me? Come on, holler one more time. Yes, he will. Yes, he will. If you don't know it, I'm here to convince you. Yes, he will. Glory to the name of the Lord. Come on, put your hands together. Bless him. Bless the Lord. Oh, my soul and all that is within me, bless his holy name. God is good and he's worthy to be praised. I got that yes, he will in my spirit now. He will, he will. Let me quit. Let me quit. Acts chapter 4. He will, he will. Been through some storms. Been low before. I know he will. Glory to his name. Acts chapter 4. Y'all leave me alone. Y'all leave me alone on them instruments back there. I got happy. That's it. That's it. That's it. Come on, if you're going to do it, go and do it. Come on, if you're going to give him praise, go and give it to him. Come on, come on, come on, come on, come on. process. I'm on Acts chapter 4. My. Don't fan the folks happy, fan the folks looking. Don't put out the fire. Amen. That sister got to hollering and praising the Lord over there. And it just spread like wildfire across the congregation. You know, it's a good feeling to get happy. Amen. Acts chapter 4. Y'all look like y'all want some preaching now. Acts chapter 4. Beginning with verse 18, we would end our reading with verse 22. And when they called them, and commanded them not to speak at all, nor teach in the name of Jesus. But Peter and John answered and said unto them, whether it be right in the sight of God to hearken unto you more than unto God, judge ye. For we can not but speak the things which we have seen and heard. So when they had further threatened them, they let them go, finding nothing how they might punish them because of the people. For all men glorified God for that which was done. For the man was above 40 years old, on whom this miracle of healing was showed. I want to talk about the Holy Spirit, courageous power. The Holy Spirit, courageous power. Say that with me, if you will. The Holy Spirit, courageous power. Amen. The Holy Spirit, courageous power. We need the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit empowers believers of Christ to witness and do the work of the kingdom of God. In Acts chapter 1, Jesus promised the coming of the Holy Spirit. Acts chapter 2, the Holy Spirit came, empowered, and emboldened Peter to preach, and about 3,000 souls were added to the church. In Acts chapter 2, verse 43, everyone kept feeling a sense of awe, and many wonders and signs were taking place through the apostles. In Acts chapter 3, a major sign and wonder took place. A crippled man was healed. For Peter and John was on their way to the temple at the ninth hour to pray. And there at the gate called Beautiful was a man who had been crippled all his life. He was laid there to beg alms. And Peter and John said, silver and gold have we none, but such as we have, we give it to you in the name of Jesus of Nazareth. Peter reached down, the man reached up, and Peter grabbed a hold of the man's arm, and the man leaped up, praising the Lord, went into the temple praising the Lord. While he was in the temple, he praised the Lord. And when he was on his way out of the temple, he praised the Lord. For he held Peter and John And the people were in awe because they knew that this man had been crippled all his life. And they knew it was nothing but the power of God that brought about this man's healing and deliverance. According to verse 11, the crippled man hailed Peter and John, and Peter saw the amazement of the people. And he saw it as an opportunity to preach Christ to the people. That he preached, and the power of God convicted the heart of men and added to the church souls that were saved. Let me pause parenthetically to say, what amazes some angers others. I think I ought to say that again. What amazes some angers others. Everybody is not happy. Everybody is not joyous over your deliverance. Because some people will use you in your devilish ways to benefit off of you. So whenever the Lord comes into your life and makes a change in your life for the better, it's not for the better of them, but the better of you, and the better of you makes it worse for them. Everybody is not happy, joyous, over your healing and deliverance. What makes some happy angers others. What amazes some angers others. Doing good, serving God, being used of God, and witnessing of Christ does not always merit you cheers and celebration, but rather confrontation that Satan will dispatch people and his imps and demons to oppose the workers and witnesses of Christ. Remember that Peter and John did they were speaking in the name of Christ to a crippled man, and he was healed. They were doing good. They were minding their own business. They were doing good. And speaking the name of Christ was offensive to some people. Let me tell you that speaking the name of Christ is not only offensive to some then, it's offensive to some now. Some people have a problem with you just saying Jesus. They have a problem with you praying in his name. They have a problem with you living for him and knowing that you are a worshiper of the Lord. You are a giver because of the Lord. They have a problem with the name Jesus. The name Jesus offends some people. And so they don't want you to call the name. Such as the case of the text, that Peter and John simply said to the man, in the name of Jesus of Nazareth, rise and walk. For the religious council, the Sanhedrin, made up of 71 elders, knew that Peter and John not only said it, but they preached it. So they thought of a way to silence Peter and John, to keep the name and the effects of the name of Jesus from spreading. Notice what they did in verse 3. They arrested Peter and John. The Bible says they laid hands on them and put them in custody until the next day, for it was already evening. So Peter and John were experiencing the promise of Jesus. Jesus told the disciples that they would be arrested and brought before the religious council for his name's sake. You Bible readers remember in Matthew chapter 10, verses 19 and 20, but when they deliver you up, don't worry about how or what you should speak, for it will be given to you in that hour what you should speak. For it is not you who speak, but the Spirit of your Father who speaks in you. For you remember in Luke chapter 12, verses 11 and 12, now when they bring you to the synagogues and the magistrates and authorities, do not worry about how or what you should answer or what you should say, for the Spirit will teach you in that very hour what you ought to say. Luke chapter 21, verses 12 through 15. But before all these things, they will lay their hands on you and persecute you, delivering you up to the synagogues and prisons. You will be brought before kings and rulers for my name's sake, but it will turn out for you as an occasion for testimony. Therefore, settle in your hearts not to meditate beforehand on what you will answer, for I will give you a mouth and wisdom which all your adversaries will not be able to contradict or resist. So in spite of the arrest, Peter and John, they were still speaking the gospel. Let me say to you, don't you let Satan silence you because of opposition. Don't you let people intimidate you because of your faith and your belief in the Lord. Listen, when they tell you not to, you ought to open your mouth up wider and speak louder. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Jesus in the morning. Jesus at noon. They ought to have somebody here who's not ashamed to be a witness. They were arrested for doing good, for speaking and preaching the name of Jesus. But in spite of the arrest, the gospel was still saving lives. See, you can incarcerate a man, but you can't incarcerate his message. You can lock up the man, but you can't lock up the gospel. I ought to have a witness here. You remember Paul. Paul helps us with this in 2 Timothy 2 verse 8. Remember Jesus Christ risen from the dead, the offspring of David, as preached in my gospel, for which I am suffering, bound with chains as a criminal. But the word of God is not bound. They could imprison the preacher, but they couldn't imprison the message. Listen, one thing about the gospel is going to roll on regardless of how oppressed and opposed the church is. The gospel has power to save. They were arrested, but in spite of the arrest, conversion took place. Sometimes God will allow you to suffer some things for the salvation of others. Come here, Paul and Silas. They were preaching, cast out spirit of divination from a girl, and they were apprehended, thrown before the magistrate and the council, put in the inner court of the prison, the dungeon portion of the prison, and they decided not to be silent. Started praising and praying. And the Bible says in Acts chapter 16 that God shook the foundation of the prison. And the doors of the cells came open. And the guard thought everybody had escaped, but God had everybody in place that was in place in the prison for the salvation of the guard. He drew his sword to kill himself. And Paul says, don't kill yourself. We're all still here. And somewhere between midnight and morning, that guard got saved and his family got saved. Sometimes God will allow you to go through some stuff to save somebody else. But while you're going through, you can't be silent. They were apprehended, thrown in jail, held until morning because it was late evening. Court couldn't be held in the evening. And while they were locked up, people were still believing on Christ. So there was conversion. And the next morning, they were brought before the council. Now watch the council, because this council is the same council that conjured charges against Jesus. Same council. See, and the Bible says in verses 6, 5, and 6, and it came to pass on the next day that the rulers, elders, and scribes, as well as Annas and the high priest and Caiaphas John and Alexander, and as many as were of the family of the high priest, were gathered at Jerusalem. They held court. And they brought these two preachers before the Supreme Court. Same council that sentenced Jesus to death. Same council that Trump charges. Same council. I'm trying to say something to you. Same counsel that accusations can come from the same counsel. See, you think time changes folk. Some days had passed, and here it is, the same counsel. See, some folk who didn't like you then don't like you now. The folk who lied on you then they're allowing you now. And especially now, if the people who hated you then hated the God you serve, hated the Lord and Savior of your life, same counsel had a problem with Jesus. Trumped up charges against Jesus. And now, here they are trumping up charges against the disciples, the apostles. So they arrested. And when they arrested them, they questioned them concerning by whose authority were they doing what they were doing. Now, Here's the subject. People didn't have a problem with you when you were weak. But when they start seeing authority, they want to question the authority by which you are operating. By whose authority? And notice verse 7, and when they had set them in the midst, they asked, by what power or by what name have you done this? The question insinuated that the healing of the crippled man had occurred by the power of magic or by the power of Beelzebub or by the power of God. By whose authority? Now, whatever you do, whenever you are questioned concerning authority, don't answer according to the flesh. Because when you answer according to the flesh, you go off. Y'all know what I'm talking about. You didn't give the spirit time to kick in. And you came back with it too quick. And you said something you had no business. Because being questioned concerning authority is always offensive. You feel offended. What you mean? By whose authority? And if you don't stop it right there, you're going to get on their level. See, if you don't kill it when you hear that, what you mean? So don't answer by the flesh. Because the text says that Peter was filled with the Holy Spirit and said to them, rulers of the people and elders of Israel, if we this day are judged for a good deed done to a helpless man, by what means he has been made well? Notice Peter, he addressed the council with respect. See, the Spirit does not empower you to be disrespectful. The Spirit does not empower you to tell people off. The Spirit does not empower you to give people a piece of your mind. The Spirit does not empower you to be nasty and naughty in your attitude and actions in response to people. So you can't answer according to the flesh. You need the Spirit. I'm looking. It don't take much for some of us. You just one little button away from cussing. You already got your fist clutched. Not today. Not today. I got a tired spirit of you today. You can't allow the flesh. Peter, he answered with respect. Notice, he addressed them properly. He said, elders or rulers of the people and elders of Israel. And he didn't go off. I can feel Peter's vibe. How settled and calm, cool and collected he was in response. He said to them that the Holy Spirit has empowered us. And it's through the name of Christ this man stands healed. So the Holy Spirit empowers you to speak boldly of Christ. And notice what Jesus said in John chapter 15, verse 26. When the advocate comes, whom I will send to you from the Father, the Spirit of truth, who goes out from the Father, he will testify about me. Peter opened his mouth and boldly declared the name of Jesus. Here it is, boldly proclaiming the name Jesus has authority to heal. Verse 10, let it be known to you and to all the people of Israel by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, whom God raised from the dead, by him this man stands here before you whole. Peter said, it is by the power of Jesus' name that the crippled man was made whole. The word whole means to be sound in body, to be restored to health. There's power in the name of Jesus to heal you bodily. So there's physical healing in the name. That you can come in crippled. You can come in stooped. And the Lord, through the name Christ, can straighten you up. You can come ailing in the body, having pains within. You can come in with cancer. And there's power in the name of Jesus to heal cancer regardless of what stage it's in. Do I have any witnesses here? You can come in with migraine headaches. You can come in with heart trouble, and there's enough power in his name to heal the migraine headaches and to heal your heart problem. You can come in with sugar diabetes, and God can heal you because there's power to heal in his name. Do I have anybody here can be a witness? Do I have anybody here who has experienced the healing power of his name? You were sick enough to die, and all you could do is just say the name Jesus, and he healed your body. He's still a miracle worker. There's power in the name. But not only is there power to heal, there's power to save. He said to them, this is the stone which was rejected by the builders, which has become the chief cornerstone. Nor is there salvation in any other, for there is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved. See, their rejection of Jesus and his name, their rejection of him as the stone, did not change Jesus as the way of alignment with God. Their rejection of him was their rejection of the way to the Father. So Jesus said in John 14:6, I am the way and the truth and the life. No man comes to the Father except through me. Their rejection of Jesus was their rejection of spiritual salvation and spiritual health. Peter said it is the same name by which the crippled man received bodily health, you will receive spiritual health. There's spiritual health in his name. He says, your rejection is why you're still spiritually sick. Your rejection of him is why you are not aligned with God. Because the cornerstone was the alignment stone. That every stone of the building had to be aligned with the cornerstone. He says, you have rejected. So you have rejected spiritual health, and you have rejected national health. Because as a nation, you're not aligned with God. If I had time, I would talk about how America is out of line because of America's rejection of Christ. That we may have once been a Christian nation, but now we're not a Christian nation because we want to silence the name of Christ. And because of our rejection of Christ, we're no longer a Christian nation. He says you're out of line. And notice, when they question Peter and John, the courage of Peter and John amazed them. Astonish the council that Peter and John spoke with courage. And the council thought of Peter and John as common men, which means unskilled, untrained. That they sensed that Peter and John was illiterate men, that they have not been in any rabbinical classes. They did not have a rabbinical education. But they had to own up to the fact that they had been with the Lord. For they said that these men are unlearned. That these men are untrained. But we cannot deny that they have not been in the presence of the Lord. And if you want the Lord to do some amazing things in your life, you need to be in the presence of the Lord. because the Lord can give you all you need. Do I have a witness? You may not have matriculated at the finest of university. You may not have walked the halls of the corridors of any college, but you know the Lord, and the Lord can use you for his service. The council, they put Peter and John out, and they thought of a way they could silence Peter and John. But when they called them back in, they said to them, you don't need to preach in the name of Jesus. But Peter and John had a case of the can't help it. Do I have anybody here who have a case of the can't help it? I got to talk about the Lord because I've seen too much and I've heard too much. Is there anybody here who can be a witness that you can't help yourself when it comes to talking about the Lord because he's been too good to you? You have seen too much and you have heard too much. He has brought you too far. He has done too much in your life for you to remain silent when it comes to the Lord. I got a case of the can't help it because he walks with me. He talks with me. Do I have any good company in here who don't mind being a witness, who's not ashamed of what the Lord has done for you, not ashamed in how far he has brought you? If you're not too ashamed, slip your hand in your neighbor's hand and said, neighbor, I got a case of the can't help it. When I was low, he picked me up. When I was out, he brought me in. When I was lost, he saved me. I got a case of the can't help it. Everywhere I go, I got to run and tell the Lord and tell him of the Lord. I got to tell him about this, and I got to tell him about that. You got to run and tell somebody, he's been too good to me when I wasn't fit to live and wasn't ready to die. He hung on a hill called Calvary. He died so I don't have to die. He died until the moon dripped away in blood. He died until the sun refused to shine. He died. Is there anybody know he died? He died until the earth reeled and rocked. Like a drunk man, they took his lifeless body down from the cross and put it in a borrowed tomb. He only needed it for Friday night, Saturday morning, Saturday at noon, and Saturday night. But Sunday morning, is there anybody here who can help me preach? Say, Sunday morning, your Lord and my Savior, your Savior and my Lord, got up out of the grave with all power in his hand. Can I ask you my question? And I go to my seat. Ain't he all right? If you know he's all right, let me hear you say, yeah! 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 Yeah!
Thank you, Jesus. Amen, amen, amen. How good the Lord is. Give God a hand clap of praise. Oh, how heart burned as the man of God spake by the wayside. Amen, amen. At this time, we open the door of the church. But Jesus said, whosoever will, let them come. And we give you the privilege and the opportunity to come. I hear the words of Jesus saying, behold, I stand at the door and knock. And if any man heareth my knock and open up the door, I come in and sup with him and he with me. Amen. I hear the voice of Jesus saying, if you be ashamed of me before men, I'll be ashamed of you before my Father. Now is the appointed time unto salvation. I give you a caution. We don't know what tomorrow is going to bring. I heard the voice of God saying, you need to get your house in order. Need to get your house in order. You can cancel your doctor's appointment. You can cancel the appointment to go see the counselor. You can cancel your appointment with the dentist. But you can't cancel your plans for salvation. I want you to know there's only two places we can go. You can have a reservation in heaven or you can have a reservation in hell. The choice is yours. You need to be very sure, very sure that Jesus is yours. Be very sure today. Don't leave here not knowing where you're going to spend eternity. Be very sure. The scripture says, appointed unto man once to die, and then the judgment. Will there be another? Will there be another? Let the church say amen. We have with us Brother and Sister Skinner coming to us on Christian Experience. Mm-hmm. They have accepted Jesus as their Lord and Savior, and they're presently living for the Lord. And we want to extend to them a hearty welcome to the New Bethlehem Baptist Church. You have anything you want to say? Well, God bless you.
Amen. Come on, give the Lord a hand clap of praise. Amen. This is the time for communion. Have everyone received a communion couplet? Raise your hand high. Raise your hand high. If you have not, raise your hand high. Come on. Our deacon brethren to come. I know it was the blood. I know it was the blood for me. Let me hear you. Let me hear you. The blood came streaming down for one day when I was lost, he died on the cross, and I know. Oh.
God through life. Life with you is now made possible. Father, we thank you for our pastor. We thank you for the church. We thank you for all these men that stretched across the front. We thank you for the sick. And while we ask that you continue to lead and guide us as we carry your word on. Father, we ask now that you bless these services and keep us in your care. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
This is my body, which is broken for you. Take, eat, in remembrance of me. After they supped together, Jesus then took the cup and said, "This is the New Testament in my blood. Take, drink."